Harrison.
Hello, All-Star. Hello, All-Star clients, and welcome to the first episode of the Veterinary Roundtable presented by All-Star Veterinary Clinic in 2022.
Oh, this is what we do.
Okay, for our new listeners, let's break down the format of the Veterinary Roundtable.
First, we will run through housekeeping, which is essentially updates about the podcast, our content, and anything we think should be on your radar. Second, we'll break the ice with a few icebreakers. Abby's excited. Regardless of how well we know the guests on each episode. Third, we'll jump into case collections. I forgot to get a case. Where each of us will share an interesting case we recently encountered. And lastly... client questions, where we'll try our hardest to answer a question or concern from one of our clients.
Okay, so before I introduce our guests, let's go over some quick housekeeping. On our previous episode where we discussed why cats might scratch their mouths, we received a hilarious yet insightful comment from none other than Connie Bergeson that we'd like to read.
Thanks, Connie.
Now, I have to stop there and say that Connie Bergeson used to be a client here and has moved, but was Harrison's third grade teacher at Our Lady of Grace. Isn't that so funny? It's so
bless
cute.
Her.
And that's when we moved into Our Lady of Grace. She was the teacher that he moved into that classroom like in the middle of the year or something like that, or the spring. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, she was amazing.
Aww.
Very funny person.
And so she still follows us.
Apparently so.
That's cool.
Okay, that's cool. So she says, it's interesting that you mentioned cats and cleaning agents. If I clean with a bleach solution, Roxy acts like it's catnip, rolling in whatever I've cleaned. I have been concerned about it harming her. Also, grandparents planning next day meals while eating dinner. Grandparents don't want to cook anymore, and they're thinking, damn, I have to do this again tomorrow. So they are perusing what's left over and thinking how they can recycle it the next night. I go through the fridge and throw whatever isn't moving yet into the crock pot. Merry Christmas.
Mm. Well,
I've never done that.
Maybe. No.
Mm. I'm going to try
genius.
That.
That's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a soup. Make it a dip.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say also, one of the things that Mrs. Bergeson can do is cook.
Oh.
She owned the little restaurant called Murphy's Table, named after her father, over on where that emergency clinic is going right now in Westfield. It was a restaurant called Murphy's Table, and she and her sister ran it, and they cooked.
Oh, nice.
And this was after she retired from Our Lady of Grace. And actually, it was good. So you guys,
she is welcome.
We might want to consider doing this.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Wow.
All right.
Very insightful. People are great. Comment all you want. We love it.
Yes. That's right.
Please be nice. We have feelings.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. If you haven't sent us a question for the podcast, please do so. We want all of your questions. Feel free to message us, comment on our announcement video, or email Harrison at all-starvet.com. Speaking of, shout out to Chelsea for our first cat-related question regarding mouth lesions last week.
Mouth lesions, shout out.
Woo, yes. Chelsea.
All right, now on to our guests on this week's episode. Or this episode,
yes,
I should say.
I love this part.
Of course, co-host.
Always.
Dr. Duckwall. And we have with us two amazing all-star staff.
Yep.
Teammates.
Yep.
Extraordinaires.
Nice.
We have registered veterinary technician, Amber O'Malley.
Woo!
Sitting next to her. Oh, you're doing
I can't snap.
We'll discuss that later. We have, as you can see with that comment, the most funny, insightful, keeping it real.
Keeping us down to earth.
Yeah.
What else adjectives you've got?
Oh, a joy, sunshine.
Thanks, a ray guys. Of sunshine ray in our life.
Yeah.
The Miss Abby DePue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Room assistant for Dr. Kristen Pulse.
Yep.
So
until one of us steals her.
That's right. So thanks you guys for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. You excited?
Yeah.
A little nervous, cool, but and collected.
Glad to be here.
I'm freaking pumped.
Yeah. Good.
My heart's beating really fast, but I look very calm on the outside.
Do you have sweaty palms? Because I do already.
Yeah, my knees weak, arms are heavy.
That means it's going to be fun. That's
okay. Yeah. All right. So.
She never gets nervous about anything.
Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely. So one of the things we like to do with the episodes, just to loosen everybody up, to get you over your nerves, is we talk about icebreaker questions. So first question is New Year's resolutions for 2022. Hit me, Abby.
Mine?
Yep. Let her roll.
I've decided my New Year's resolution is to just try. And that can, like, involve anything. Like,
yeah.
Try to put an effort to do your hair in the morning, or, like, try to make a coffee at home instead of going to Starbucks. So that's kind of
what I'm... It's all encompassing. It's perfect.
Yeah. Try to do your job. Oh, wait, no.
Try to do my job better. Try to
make somebody cry.
Yeah.
That's a really good, you know, outlook, like to shoot for. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not good at goals. It's terrifying. So if I can just try, I'll be good.
I like it.
I like it too.
Thanks, I like it.
Yeah. What about you?
Amber?
I made it a goal this year to, because sometimes it's hard not to let, like, the negatives get to you, to, like, journal like Terry does.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Even if it's for, like, 5 minutes, and just write down one positive thing that happened every day.
At the end of the year, you'd have a whole book of positive things.
Have you started?
Yes.
Nice. That's the worst part. I'm not going to start it.
You're not going to start?
No, I'm not good at starting.
Oh, okay. Some people are great at starting and then not finishing them. So
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's another idea for you.
Yep. I'll try to do that.
There you go. There you go. I haven't done any New Year's resolutions this year.
Honestly, me either. Drink more water because I don't drink enough water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have anything great. You guys are so thinking. Way
to go. I probably should, like, try to make an effort to get, like, exercise and my heart racing, other than stress.
Other than running from room to room.
We need good stress.
Good stress, not the bad stress. The bad probably should. I really, really don't want to, but I turned the big 3-0 this year, so it's time to really get.
That's just horrible.
30, yeah. 30 and thriving.
That's what, though? I just turned 30, and I don't think I would want to be in my 20s again. Listen, I don't feel like it was the best time of my life.
You know, 30 is like, you know, the new is like a 6 now, you know. You're 30, you're now 6.
I feel like I finally found my, like, good spot in life. Okay. So.
You have something to look forward to. Look at that.
It's going
to
be a great year.
There you go.
There you go. I'm here to keep you motivated.
Thank you.
I just didn't come up with any New Year's resolutions yet this year.
Yeah, it's never too late. Right, you can do it anytime.
Think of one right now. I can't.
Okay. That was a good effort, though.
I saw it. I was really trying hard.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your favorite zoo animal, Amber?
The giant panda.
That was no hesitating. That was
why the giant panda.
I just think they're adorable. But also,
they could, like, kill you.
Look the size. I mean, seriously, though, they protect those they care about.
Yeah.
So, like, they're cute and they're clumsy, and just feel like they're the
all encompassing teddy bear.
Is a giant panda different from a normal panda?
There's the red panda, which looks like a raccoon.
Those are cute.
Yeah. They are cute.
Those are really cute. Do you know San Diego doesn't have giant pandas anymore? And they've been gone for a long time.
Okay.
That's a really fun fact.
I went to San Diego last fall, and I went to the zoo, super excited to see the pandas. Mm-hmm. And then the nice helper man at his station was like, they're not here, and they've been gone for a while. They went back to China.
Are we sure that
Because China owns every – ooh, fun fact. China owns every giant panda that's here in the United States.
Of course they do.
Yes. So they took them away.
That's right. They're like, no pandas for you.
I made a trip to the National Zoo just to see pandas. That's all I cared about. I just wanted to see them.
So there still are pandas in the United States.
I think so. But that was a few years ago. So
they haven't pulled all the pandas. The pandas are gone, peeps.
Nice man.
No more pandas.
He couldn't even have pandas. Okay, Abby.
I thought the question in the shower this morning when I was thinking about it was, what zoo animal would you want to be?
Oh, well, shoot. Great. Go for it.
And I was thinking penguin. only because they've got it made. Like,
a penguin does? Out of all the animals, a penguin has it made?
I think they could get eaten
pretty quickly.
No, in the zoo. Well, I'm thinking about
specifically in a zoo.
If I was a zoo animal living in the zoo.
Okay.
Penguin.
Okay, that's fair.
I think if you were an animal living in the zoo, does
the
a
bird that cannot fly.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Y'all, I'm not changing it. I like it.
Oh, gosh.
We love
that. And
they
just, like, walk around.
Yeah.
They're pretty cute.
It's just
have you seen Happy Feet?
Yeah. Is that animated?
Yes.
Oh. There wouldn't be like
big. Oh, that's a bad question.
I like how you're like, yes, I've seen that movie.
No, they got live penguins at the zoo to dance on cue.
On cue. And in, then in formation.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
Oh, gosh.
It's been a long day. This is the end of the day. We what's always do this at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I was a real big fan of elephants, hippopotamuses, and giraffes. But always horses.
Always horses.
They have horses at the zoo?
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes they do.
Penny I suppose Fort you could go on like on a horse ride.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My mom thought you could ride the giraffes at the zoo. Sorry, Mom. Love you. She was like, yeah, you can totally do that.
And I think
like,
you can sometimes no, you feed them.
You can ride you the can elephants.
What?
You can do on an elephant ride at the Indianapolis Zoo.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yep.
What's your zoo animal?
Oh, gosh.
You didn't think about it in the shower.
I, you know, I don't know. There's so many different types of animals that I'm thinking, oh, gosh, what would I be? Not what would I be, but what animal is my favorite?
I know.
Same question. You can pick whichever.
I think any of the primates are cool. Mm. So I probably would go with one of those guys. I always like those guys.
The most human-like.
Yeah. Yeah. Or really one of those, swinging. Like... those lizards that are the ones that are so big that
oh you know Komodo dragon
yeah mm-hmm. yeah
there totally. Was one just
I'm
born.
Totally gonna chase down someone like that's what they do they run so fast they can chase down people
oh you're talking as the Komodo dragon
yeah
you're gonna chase someone
yeah, yeah.
or a tortoise yeah. lives to like 1,000 years old
yes
so if you want to be a crusty old tortoise that'd be a good option
aww.
Oh, you know what one time on the podcast, you
know what we should do
in a podcast one time is like assign zoo animals to every employee here.
Yeah.
Like what animal would they be if they were a zoo animal?
Slideshow and like just go through.
Yeah. Because I think everyone would fit into some category.
We have lots of good ideas for this podcast.
Yes, we do.
Hopefully we have listeners up to that point.
Somebody write it down. Harrison, write it down.
He's supposed to be taking notes. Harrison?
Okay. Okay, so next question. What is something you are great at cooking? I'm going to answer
anything
for Duckwall.
Anything I can put in a crock pot.
Let me answer for Duckwall. You're taking Mrs. Ferguson's approach. Throw everything in the trash can. I'm going to answer for Duckwall and say that she is going to say chicken Alfredo sauce in the ragu can.
Hold on, but
Oh my gosh.
Yes, Abby.
Also,
all right.
I knew like we were friends. On the boxed potatoes. I grew up eating those and they are perfectly fine.
These are my gals. These are my gals.
When you get a lot of crap for that on this podcast. Oh, so I thought I'd
And
Jack's
no
frozen pizza.
No people. No, this is
talked
not.
I've talked about that multiple times.
Yeah. Because it's the best.
I know that about you. That's weird. And that you, like, I think you cry. When you see old people, is that right?
Oh, we don't have
I
to go
love
there.
That.
Oh,
okay, those are fun love facts it. To know about
Dr. Duckwell's fun facts. She cries when she sees old people.
I do.
Loves so ragu cute. In a box,
and Jack's
potato
pizza.
In a box, and Jack's pizza.
And she hates cooking.
And she hates
Can
cooking.
Can you tell?
Okay,
Abby, you're up.
What's the question?
What is something you are great at cooking?
Oh. I don't know. I really like to do anything with like sausage, peppers, because that's fun. Mm. You can throw all kinds of stuff in.
Like in a pan?
In a pan. In a wok, if you will.
Oh, a wok.
Yeah.
Wok.
I don't know. Or I've ever used one.
I was going to try to make a wok joke, but I couldn't think of one.
It'll come to you.
Wok this way.
Okay. Whoa.
Oh, but you're getting ready to ask me, right?
What do you love to cook?
Wait a minute.
Did you get boxed mashed potatoes?
There is chicken Alfredo. So this is the thing. This is the thing that Duckwall and I argue about on the podcast.
Did you make me some chicken Alfredo?
Yes. Is my chicken Alfredo, is it as good as the
jar? Wow. I'm so excited.
Chicken Alfredo sauce from Ragu.
I am so hungry.
Hopefully it's still warm. I want you both to taste it. Try it.
So one's homemade and one's out of the box?
No, they're both homemade. I just split it up so you could.
So I can just eat this?
Yeah, here? Go oh. for it. Try it.
That's really good.
You like it?
It's really good.
It has nice spices to it. It has good texture. It has.
There you go.
That texture. Does it encourage you to want to make it yourself?
No.
Okay. It is the easiest recipe. We will give you the recipe after this podcast. You can find
can
it.
Can I just keep eating this?
Yep.
Harrison.
On the link below.
Yeah, take me off the camera.
The link below. There you go. It is super easy to make and it's super delicious.
Yeah. All right.
It's going to be something scary.
Now you know.
I mean that cold. Even if it's cold after this.
It's
I mean
yours. It. Yours to have. I had to bring you my frozen batch. So because obviously I didn't have time to make it since I was doing appointments during the day today. So I brought out my frozen batch and then heated that up.
It's delicious. Yeah, thank you.
Busy. So it may not be quite as good as when it's fresh right out of the pan. But
it's still really good.
I'm very happy.
If you're used to ragu sauce, that's going to taste amazing.
You know what would be great, Abby? A little ragu on top.
I'm just kidding. Roped into this. I feel like she's trying to start a fight now.
I'm just kidding. It's great on its own.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we're on to case collections.
Mm. Yep. We sure are, aren't we?
Yep.
Everyone's really prepared, right?
So
hit me.
I did
Amber.
Kind of think about it. Yes. I don't think that it's like super interesting for a lot of people, but we did have that like puppy yesterday that came in with the needle in her mouth.
That's very interesting.
Yeah,
it is.
How did that go? I missed that. I saw it on the schedule.
Wait, you got to start from the beginning for all the listeners.
Oh, yeah. So this 4-month-old puppy, she got into a sewing kit and ended up with a needle stuck in like her soft palate underneath her tongue. She's totally fine when she came in. Like, she's just a happy puppy. But we couldn't really look at it, so we sedated her. And Dr. King just pulled it right out very gently. And that was that.
That was that.
Nice.
It went right through. You know, it avoided the you know, where the mandible comes together. The symphysis there. It was, like, back
so
a little bit.
So was it through underneath here?
Well, you could feel it there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So it just hadn't poked out, but it was still poking out in her mouth. Ew. I was like, I don't know how she didn't. It must have been able to move enough that it didn't bother her tongue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It came out. It was perfect. You could just reuse that sucker. Put it back in the sewing kit. Yeah. Get started.
Which we did not do.
We didn't do. We threw it away.
I mean, that's very good of the owner to catch it that quickly.
Because
if it's not that easy to see it, then.
Well, we have some horror stories of needle migration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
the most interesting part about like the needles when people call and say, oh, my dog ate a needle. Because like porcupine quills, they do migrate.
That's my case I'm going to share.
Ooh.
But wait, with the needle and the soft palate, like what do you do next? Like, is there treatments afterwards?
You mean once we took it out?
Yeah.
Nah, I just take it out. It's good.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We'll check on you later.
I mean, it was just there. It was only there for an hour or two. You know, it wasn't there for like an extended period of time where it could form like an abscess or anything like that.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. So Amber mentioned the porcupine quills. Our friend, Dr. Jody Hubner, who's a veterinarian who works for Zoetis, she has a German short hair pointer that goes hunting, and they were up in Michigan, and her husband took her hunting, and she found a dead porcupine and decided to chew on it, which is not good.
Not good.
Because porcupine quills get stuck in the dog's mouth, or if they run up on a porcupine, then they shoot their quills, and then they get stuck all over the dog. Oof. The problem is they can migrate, so they can burrow under the skin and then go places. So this dog, they went to the emergency clinic. Mitch took her to the emergency clinic and they thought they got everything out, but they weren't sure because she was chewing on the porcupine. Oh. So the thought was she might have swallowed one. And so she was petting her one day, Jody was, and she found that she had a big swelling on her side. And so then we ultrasounded that and it had the classic presentation for like a porcupine under the skin. So then we were like, all right, let's just go ahead and take her to surgery and take that out. And then spay her. She's going to be asleep anyway. But, oh, while you're in there, can you just look at the rest of her abdomen? And so we spayed her. And then I looked at the rest of her abdomen like, I'm not going to find anything, whatever. And there was one that had burrowed into the wall of the stomach.
What?
And one in her mesentery. And then she had the one on the outside of her chest wall. And so we got them all out.
So interesting.
I don't know if there's any more. There could be. So you can't tell for sure.
Out of the stomach wall.
It was burrowed. It was like a granuloma, like through the stomach, like in the layers of the stomach wall. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Were they big, little? Like how big were they?
The one in her side was pretty small. Like had probably disintegrated and was broken apart.
Yeah.
The one in her stomach, same size. And then the one in her mesentery was a little bit bigger, but not much.
So interesting. Good thing you found them.
Yeah.
Could have been a...
Yep.
Real
She's like, she knows that there could be more there that we didn't see.
Right.
You know, whatever. But
yeah,
she's recovered fine and doing well.
Good.
So very interesting because we don't see them. I mean, we don't have very many dogs coming upon porcupines here in central Indiana. No.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, up there in Michigan, apparently.
Those Michiganders better watch out.
Watch out. Yep. Those porcupines. Not good for anything.
Nope.
They're kind of cute.
They are very cute. Maybe
in a weird way.
Yeah.
They're a bigger version of a hedgehog.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Or is a hedgehog more like a hamster?
Hedgehogs are...
Look up the origin.
Hedgehogs are... I'm not going to say.
Because you think it's...
No, because I'll be wrong or something.
Yeah. She's like, I can't fact check this right now.
Yeah, I can't fact check this. So what else? Who else has a cool case? Anybody else?
I was trying to think of something, though. I'm blanking out of all these cool cases.
I mean, I have one that I was thinking literally of our zebra board. So I was like, okay, what things have I seen? There was one where it was a problem is I don't remember. She was an old dog. She was not spayed. I think she had puppies in her life. I don't remember. Anyway, it was a while ago, and she came in because there was we were worried about a vulva prolapse. So the vagina had prolapsed out, and but weren't quite sure, was it a mass? Was it something else? It was an older kiddo. So she came in, and kind of long story short, on like evaluation and palpation of that area, it actually ended up being her uterine horn. So an ovary, like the female reproductive system in a dog is you've got your two ovaries and it comes to a Y down here and these are the horns. And so for her, one of those horns had come all the way down and prolapsed out of her vagina. And so, and vulva or whatever. Yeah, yeah, it's bad. Doesn't feel good, I would assume. I don't know. But have had it happen to me. So what you're supposed to do is, you know, put it back and then try to essentially zipper it with suture so that it stays put. Just kind of tuck it up in there and see if, you know, how it goes. Like, we didn't know for sure, but the way it palpated, it felt like it was a horn. Unfortunately, the suture didn't last. And so it did come back out. And it's one of those things where you got to remove it surgically or else it's going to keep falling out and, or it's going to become necrotic and, just die because it's exposed to where it shouldn't be exposed. And she did, based off her age and everything else going on, we did humanely euthanize her. But it was a very interesting case because looking at it, you're like, what is that? And without feeling it and still even feeling it, you're like, I think that's where it's going.
Right.
But it's one of those situations where it was like surgery or not.
Yeah.
So but it was interesting. Yep.
That is very interesting case. Knock on wood. That leads nicely into our client question. Speaking of the female reproductive tract.
Yes.
I hope this is related.
That was
that would have been really weird.
So what is your opinion on when a female dog should be spayed? From Chris Grissom.
Thank you, Chris.
Good question. Like, there's usually a variety of factors that go into that, right? Like age, size.
Yep.
I breed. Trust my breed. Doctor,
Dr. Kristen Pulse. I hope you trust us too.
Yeah, I trust you.
She's my favorite. Oh, gosh.
There's a bond.
But yeah, there is. There's weird factors. I think each case is dependent on the dog.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I always literally when I start the conversation, I start by asking, do you want to go through a heat cycle or not? Yes. Because some people want to for various reasons, whether they're considering breeding, whether they are more comfortable doing that with their dog because they've had the breed before. And there's so many different reasons. Anatomically, sometimes it's better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I start with that question and it's either a very much yes or very much I don't know. What do you think? And then we go from there. So, or I'm sorry, very much no. I said that wrong. A very much no, I absolutely do not want to deal with that versus what do you think about it? There's very few that say absolutely yes, I have my decision made up. So we kind of talk through the case and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think it really depends. I mean, there's percentages for both sides of it, right? Like, you don't spay them, they're more at risk for developing mammary cancer. Mm-hmm. If you don't spay them at all, gosh, get into a laundry list of issues that we've and seen. Diseases. Absolutely.
I mean, especially this year, I feel like mm-hmm. it's like we've seen everything.
Yep.
That you don't see that often.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. because of the sheer number of cases that mm-hmm. we're seeing. But
yep.
I mean, pyometros, which is like a uterine infection. Or
yep. Mm-hmm. Ovarian cysts. Mm-hmm. I mean, not usually in young dogs, but you're looking at ovarian tumors. You're looking at, I mean,
vocal pyometras.
Vocal pyometras. yep. I mean, you can get into weird stuff like pseudo pregnancies if they go through heat cycles, which means the body thinks they got pregnant. And so they start developing mammary tissue and it's all hormone based. Oh, and they really didn't get pregnant. So,
do they have a heat cycle? Like an unspayed dog, do they have a heat cycle? Like throughout their lifetime, or does it eventually end?
That's a great question.
It, I mean, they do. They typically have a heat cycle every 6 months, or you think of like, you know, seasonal, so winter, summer, or something like that, you know, kind of a thing. But at some point in their age, they will typically they're going to stop having a heat cycle.
Right.
But a lot of times that's where we end up seeing some of the issues associated mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. still having or still being intact.
Yep.
So we're, like uterine infections, that's just the most common thing, I would say. Mammary cancer, just because mm-hmm. they're intact.
The risk increase with each heat cycle that they have too for mammary?
Up to sure. the third heat cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's like you can decrease the chance of mammary cancer if you spay them before right. their first heat cycle to like less than 1%. If it's between the first and second heat cycle, I think you can decrease it to less than 10%. After the third heat cycle, there's no difference,
yeah.
I think is what the research shows.
Mm-hmm. But then as they age, they get more prone to pyometra and mm-hmm. mucometra, hydrometra. So basically the uterus fills up with any type of fluid and mm-hmm. pyometra though is the emergency.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very bad. And you have to spay them anyway to fix it.
Yep.
That's yeah. literally the treatment. So well,
yeah.
Yep.
So I do think there's some thought behind, you know, I think when we look at how early some of these animals are spayed or neutered, you know, castrated, basically. I mean, I think they're the places that are doing it early, like 6 weeks, eight weeks, whatever,
yeah.
you know, they have different objectives, you know, so a humane society right. or a low cost. I mean, you know, their objective is to sterilize as many animals as possible so they can decrease the amount of the population of the pet right. population that can reproduce,
yeah.
you know, so, I mean, they're accomplishing their objective. I think out in practice, anecdotally, we probably see or form the opinion that it might be better to wait a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, to spay yeah. and neuter them because I feel like we see a lot of potentially other problems associated with really, really early yeah. spaying and neutering.
Yep.
I think it can be, I think you can spay and neuter them safely. Mm-hmm. Very early. I don't yeah. think, you know, after a certain point, I think you can definitely do it safely, but I don't know if it's always in their best interest from a longevity standpoint and the problems that you manage. So I think we kind of, like you guys were saying, try and walk that line mm-hmm. that, you know, of, okay, it's a giant breed dog. Okay, we might do this. Okay, it's a Maltese. We might do this, you know, right. kind of a thing. And trying to walk that line to get as much benefit as we can, leaving the animal intact for as long as we can, but yet mm-hmm. spaying them prior to the first heat cycle to take advantage of them being spayed prior to their first heat cycle.
Right.
But
I think it's important to remember there's no blanket statement. I think yeah. that sometimes it can get confused. Like you definitely need to do it by this date and that's mm-hmm. it. And it's just so variable for, like you said, large breed dogs, like they grow up until almost 2 years of age sometimes, right. extra mm-hmm. large yeah. breed. So it's like, yeah. you're not going to neuter or spay or whatever the same time frame. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I think as a general whole at the clinic here, we've said like safely for anesthesia and everything, comfortably 6 months for them to handle that full blown mm-hmm. surgery procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're talking more, at least in my experience, females in that 6 months time period, because male dogs, you don't have to worry about a heat cycle. So you can yeah. kind of have the luxury of waiting even longer after that too
yeah.
for development. So,
yeah.
yep.
What do you see in rooms? What do people ask about or talk about in rooms?
All kinds of stuff.
Ooh, share it.
And related to spaying and neutering. Do they always want to know? Do they always want to know? Do they always want to know about...
Tell us all the secrets of the room.
Room life. What are they... Do they already have sometimes some opinions about, oh, shoot, yeah. I thought I was going to have to spay them. Or, oh, I thought, you know, what do you hear when you're in the rooms?
Interesting. I know, especially like on our last puppy visits, we always like them to leave either like scheduling a spay or doing something like that. But I don't get very many questions, honestly, about spaying, neutering.
I think there's weird. I mean, the population of people that breed dogs is so small. I feel like this year is the first time we've seen a larger population of clients with pets that aren't, that are intact.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and so we've seen some of these diseases that we historically wouldn't see as often just because the population that we're treating has shifted just slightly.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I think most people just assume they're going to be, you know, neutering and spaying their pet.
I just feel like that's kind of like the process.
As quickly as,
So. And that's okay. Like, it's not, I think at least we're all open and honest. Like, if we have a different opinion of maybe waiting a little longer or doing it sooner, just kind of talk through it. But I mean, it's always a very interesting topic to me because there's, if we like look up on, so Vin is our veterinary resource basically vet Facebook.
Yeah, it's like an information network.
Network. And so, gosh, I've looked into it before. I'm sure you have too, of just seeing what the general like new opinion is out there. Mm-hmm. And there's so many. Like, there's literally, there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever's right for the family. It's so fascinating to me.
For you guys, like, as doctors,
has like, it always the been, varying
like,
opinion.
Yeah, like it's always everybody has their own opinion about it.
I think so because I think some of what your opinion gets formed, you know, it ends up being biased over time based on what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so just like that happens sometimes with breeders where they're like, hey, we're never going to give another dog a lepto vaccine, you know, because every dog's had a vaccine, you know, and so then they form this bias against the lepto vaccine.
Right.
Same thing happens with us, you know, when we're working and, you know, we spay every dog before, you know, it's like, well, the best thing to do is spay them. We never see any problems when they're, you know what I mean? You start forming biases.
Yeah.
So I think that's where some of the opinions, and again, some of that's anecdotal, just what you're living with and doing on a daily basis. So people in different parts of the country are going to have different opinions, you know, in terms of what they're doing and what they're seeing. There's really no research, you know, to say, okay, if I leave a dog, a male dog, and he's intact, and I leave him intact until the age of two, I'm going to see less cruciate disease, for example.
Yeah.
But yet out in practice, I can tell you that the dogs that are neutered later in life have the tendency to have less orthopedic issues if they're a large breed dog. So that's a bias that I'm forming in my brain. I have no peer-reviewed paper to tell me that. It's just anecdotal. It's just me making an opinion based on what I'm seeing on a daily basis. And so I think, you know, that's where some of those opinions come from probably is just people working and living and sharing what they see.
That's like 99% of I feel like becoming, I don't know.
It's just because there's no real, they're so focused, the industry is so focused on not having reproduction, like as far as like out of hand, like you don't want just like a huge population of pets that you have no homes for. I don't think that it would serve any purpose, or they don't feel like it would serve any purpose to do any type of research study trying to convince people to leave dogs intact longer.
Yeah.
I think that would go against what they're trying to accomplish probably, wouldn't you think?
I agree. I think it, I mean, gosh, we heard and hear all about like rescues getting overpopulated. And of course there's the no-kill and the kill shelters that are out there. And so it's just, I think that information to me helps me support like let's get them, let's get them fixed. Like you don't, if you're not really going to have any intention of breeding, and if you do, okay, let's talk about why you want to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, I agree.
I don't think they would ever put together anything that would push a narrative.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Right.
You know, to suggest to try and get people to not spay or neuter their dog until a certain time period. That would go against their narrative. So I don't think that's why I don't think I have any research necessarily that points us to that direction. It's just kind of what we see.
Yeah.
You know,
and but I think it's so different. It's you just never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. It's cool. Yep. But that's, cool. You know, when you're working with that many breeds, you know, they're all the same, but they're all different.
Yeah.
It's just very fascinating.
Us. Just like us. We're all unique in our own way.
Yeah, grab that Alfredo, girl.
Heck yeah.
So good. It's going to be cold. You'll have to heat it up again.
This is way better than a salad at 10 p.m. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're excited.
You eat salad at 10 p.m. That was very specific.
That was episode. Abby, you got to watch our podcast, then you'll know what we're talking about.
We often talk about food.
You're going to have to catch up all to five episodes now.
We talk about food once an episode.
At least.
It's got to be because we're at the end of the day and we're starving.
Yep.
But Harrison told us we couldn't eat on the podcast.
Yeah.
Why does it make a weird mouth sound in the...
Harrison, is that right? Yep. That's what he said. And he's like, nope, no eating allowed.
I can hear myself as I chew that.
So. Like, I'll be putting that down.
Yeah, listeners really like that, though. They like the background noise.
Oh, gosh. Anybody else have anything to add in regards to that question?
Great question. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Yeah. Always welcome questions. Yep. Can't wait for the next one. Never know what we're getting into.
Okay. Well, we will wrap it up there for this week's episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
We did it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. And remember, send in those questions and be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at All Star Veterinary Clinic. If you enjoyed the episode or a previous episode, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice.
Yes. We'll see you next week. Few weeks.
Few weeks.
Few weeks. Not next week. Few
with
weeks.
With the next question and the next set of icebreakers.
And the next fun time.
And our next victims.
Commentary and our next
victims. I would love to come back.
You're putting that out there.
This is fun.
There we go.
They're like fettuccine Alfredo.
now they're gonna expect a meal every time.
Good job. Oh no, I'm good without the meal.
All right, everybody. Okay, we'll see you next time on the Veterinary Roundtable.